going home. For the night will end in the everlasting day, in the little hour going home.
In a little while, in a little while,
we shall find the beat of
home. We shall be at last by the stormy winter path. In a little while, we'll do the work that I have with my in a little while we're going home. In the grace of God, we were daily praying. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall be the friends when the stormy winter comes. In a little while we're going home. We will go back for some weary days. In a little while we're going home.
Alright, Sabbath blessings and happy Sabbath, everyone. Do you hear me clear? Just want to check. Alright, praise the Lord. Yeah, in a little while, we're going home. So before we start, let's pray. Please kneel if you can. If you are ready, our dear Heavenly Father, we come together to praise and worship you on this wonderful Sabbath day. We continue to invite your holy presence to fill our hearts with joy and gladness and keep us, inspiring us to love you more and walk in faith and not by sight. Thank you, Father, for blessing both the children's and adult studies earlier. It's really very filling. We leave all the prayer requests of your children unspoken or spoken, O Lord. We trust that you will answer them in accordance to your divine will. Lord, please bridle my tongue as I speak on your behalf. And please forgive us, Father, for all the sins we have committed against thee. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and King forever and ever. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. Today is August 10, 2024, Sabbath day. And our sermon title actually comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. So we will look at this passage deeper. Okay, let's begin in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." The word grieve means to distress, to cause grief, sorrow, or sadness. So, in other words, this means that we can make the Holy Spirit sad, which give him a personality. In fact, not only can we make him sad, but he also knows the joy he gave Christians, even under trials. Look, we can read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost." So yes, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. We all believe that. But, see, those who preach and believe that the Holy Spirit is only a force or a thought process coming from God or Jesus, they are actually making a grave mistake, and they are simply grieving the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 7:51, Stephen said to the Sanhedrin before he was martyred, it says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." Look, Stephen boldly rebuke and condemn those who always resist the Holy Spirit because of their stubbornness, because of hardness of heart. Keep in mind, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, only works by means of truth. When Jesus says in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Also in John 16, verse 13 and verse 8, it says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." In verse 8, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." That is in John 16, verse 8. So the Spirit of truth convinces us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit helps us to detect errors and devices of Satan. That is why, you know, Jesus warned us not to take falsehood for truth. Look, when you oppose the present truth presented to you by his appointed agencies, after, let's say, many warnings and evidences, you not only grieve, but also resist the Holy Spirit, just like the Sanhedrin of old. Let's give one example. As you all know, you will notice that our ministry website, remnantofgod.org, has a hireling page that warns the flock about many wolves by exposing their errors. But when you deliberately compromise by listening to these known false teachers, or let's say former brethren who are preaching errors, participating or joining their gatherings, even watching and sharing their videos, what's happening? You are absorbing their errors and it creates doubt in your heart. And as the result, you begin to tell your confusion to the church. So there you go. You make the Holy Spirit sad. The Holy Spirit is grieved. You see, it's easy for us to grieve the Holy Spirit because we are naturally rebellious. That's human nature. Isaiah 63:10, it says, "But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them." In Psalms 106:33, "Because they provoke His Spirit, so that He spake unadvisedly with His lips." The word rebel is same as provoking, means to be in disobedient, bitter, provoking, and stubborn. The word vex means to displease and hurt. In other words, grieving the Holy Spirit is a defiance of the warnings and entreaties of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Okay, we always hear that if you are faithful and obedient, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth and help you understand prophecy and doctrine. Yes, we believe that. That's why man can choose to accept or reject the truth. It is a choice. Nobody will force you. Nobody will stop you. Not even God can force you. Because God respects you greatly. He respects us. You can either obey or disobey God and know the consequences. If you obey, what's the consequence? Life. If you disobey, curse. Blessing and curse. Life and death. Which one do you like to choose? But God said, choose life. Choose to obey. Now, in Ephesians 4:31, he points out how to avoid grieving the Holy Spirit. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." We will dissect these things, these items. So bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit. Some Christians, they have been bitter or disrespectful to neighbors and even brethren. Yes, they claim to be Christians in the same church, but they are so bitter that they won't attend church service if others do and we live. Or maybe they become bitter, they became cold with a minister or elder that they failed to receive his message or appreciate his labors because they think he hurt them by his word or did something which wounded them. But he doesn't know. So it is your Christian duty to tell him about his faults between him and you alone. That's the Bible rule. And have the bitterness changed to respect and love. Don't throw any darts. Like what we read in Psalm 64, verse 3. Psalm 64, 3. It says, who wept, meaning sharpen or teach diligently, who wept their tongue like a sword. See, they are sharpening their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. So, don't let any unchristlike spirit make you bitter at your brother or sister. And how a selfish person can call himself Christian with such character? You grieve the Holy Spirit instead of receiving Him. So, let all bitterness be put away from our heart. What about wrath and anger? Yes, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Basically, these two are similar. When you look at the word wrath, it means the active principle of anger. Whereas, anger means the passions. Wrath is temporary. Anger is a chronic or persistent sign of malice. But both of these are effects of bitterness, which is actually a deep-seated trait in your heart, in your character. And wrath and anger are the works of the flesh which prevent the people from entering that gate, which is heaven. Galatians 5:19-21. Galatians 5:19-21, we read, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are this: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How about in Ecclesiastes? Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9, it says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Some professed Christians are so easily mad. They are so impatient that when something doesn't suit them, they get angry right away and complain for days. See, they are called fools. Why? Because they grieve the Holy Spirit and cannot receive Him. So the next time you are provoked by the enemy, we must follow what the apostle said in James chapter 1:19-20. James chapter 1:19-20. Let me put that one. Okay, James 1:19-20 and Colossians 3:8. It says here, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, but now ye also put off all this, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So put away bitterness, put away wrath, anger, that you may receive rather than grieve the Holy Spirit. But take note, there is kind of anger that God accepts. Okay? It is called the righteous indignation against sin. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, Ephesians 4:26, it says, "Be angry and sin not, okay? And let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Psalms 119:126, it says, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law." So when we see that God is dishonored and his holy work is being harmed, our righteous anger is justifiable. For example, like the Ephesian converts in Acts chapter 19, verse 19, Acts 19:19, it says, "Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." So these Ephesian converts, they denounce sorcery. They burn the magical books. In John chapter 2:15-16, let us see the example of Jesus when he cleansed the temple court. John 2:15-16, it says, "And when he had made a scourge of small cords," take note, it's just a small cords. "What he did? He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house an house of merchandise." That's why when Jesus saw that the temple was desecrated, he spoke with power and authority to cleanse the temple court. That is a righteous indignation. Another example in Exodus chapter 32:19. Exodus chapter 32:19. Regarding Moses. This is regarding Moses. "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the mount." So when Israel turned away from God because of the golden calf, there was a golden calf of apostasy that time, Moses got angry. He threw down the tablets of the law and broke them to show that God had broken his promise to them. But Moses did not commit a sin by breaking the tablets, for it was a righteous indignation acceptable to God. What about clamor and evil speaking? This grieves the Holy Spirit too. Clamor is when someone talks out loud and rude, fighting and ranting, and is angry at someone. And in Acts chapter 22 to 23, Acts 22 to 23, this is when the Jews heard Paul that he was going to preach to Gentiles. What they did? "And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air." So when the Jews heard that Paul was going to preach to Gentiles, they were offended. They raised their voices, they refused him and told him he should die. On the other hand, evil speaking also means blasphemy. A hurtful speech that is meant to hurt someone in a harsh way. That's why James chapter 4 verse 11, James chapter 4 verse 11 says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." So evil speaking is one of the greatest evils in the church. Why? For it is a great obstacle to purity, peace, and prosperity of the church. So put away these things, this negative spirit, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. So as malice is rooted from envy and jealousy and includes all forms of evil, including moral transgression, wickedness, law breaking without shame. See, they are happy when they break the law. Ill will, they desire to endure, vice, depravity, baseness, cowardice, faint-heartedness, and fault-finding. See, malice grieves the Holy Spirit. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, 1 Corinthians 5, 8, we are told, "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Also in 1 Peter 2:1, we are told, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking." Okay. Let me post that one. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 14:20. Okay, I think I missed that in my note. Alright. Okay, let me post this too before that. Okay, 1 Peter 2:1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." 1 Corinthians 14:20, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." Look at that child. These children. It is better to be a pure-hearted little child who doesn't do, who doesn't say or intend any harm to others. They are without ill will. They have no bitterness, envy, or any evil feelings in their heart. So, for the grown-ups, for us who are grown-ups, lay aside these childish things. Let us avoid slander, backbiting, angry expressions, gossiping, negative criticism, out of fear of God and love for our brethren. So, like for example, when somebody come to you and start telling you someone else's business, just point to the tail bearer to go God's word. Tell him to follow the Bible rule and direct his complaint to the one he thinks is in error. So, this combined effort would fill the church with light and shut out evil. Therefore, we would honor God and save many people. That's why this is all we need to do by God's help. In Ephesians chapter 4, 25-29, it is posted here now. Ephesians 4, 25-29, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We grieve the Holy Spirit if we lie to our fellow Christians. See? It says here, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. See, we grieve the Holy Spirit when anger control us. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Yes, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we steal from each other. And in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we speak foul and abusive words instead of uplifting and encouraging words. Remember, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. This is why our lives need to be filled with the love of God. Because according to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 9, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet smelling savor. In verse 9 it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So when we don't walk in love, we don't walk in goodness, righteousness and truth, we grieve the Holy Spirit because of our sinful thoughts and actions. In the adult study, we talk about how speaking in tongues is used by the enemy to twist the truth, right? And one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is fire. In Acts chapter 2, verse 3. Acts chapter 2, verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the truth about the tongue is, as we have said, this speaking of tongues is used by the enemy to to twist the truth. The speaking of tongue is just one of the many spiritual gifts. And it is used to break the language barrier to preach the gospel. Like for example, you don't speak Tagalog. Okay, you are an English speaker. So you can, when you preach the gospel in Tagalog, you know, in the Philippines like that, you speak Tagalog, you can speak in Tagalog and they understand you speaking Tagalog. See? So, speaking in stammering or mumbling tongues, which even God doesn't really understand, you know, is actually grieving the Holy Spirit. I remember this text in Isaiah 28:11, about stammering lips and another tongue. So this is in line with what is going on now. And since the Holy Spirit symbolizes fire, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, quench not the Spirit. So the word quench itself means to extinguish. So the fire of the Holy Spirit enlightens and quickens our soul. It transforms us into a channel of blessing to others, but His influence can be extinguished. This can be quenched in our hearts. Therefore, grieving the Holy Spirit is like quenching the Holy Spirit. Since we have power to grieve the Holy Spirit, we also can quench the Spirit of God. And they both keep us from becoming holy and keep us captive by the unclean spirits. The Holy Spirit burns within us like a living word inscribed on the tablets of our hearts when we don't quench the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." We have a warning from God. We are in danger of grieving the Holy Spirit. No one is safe. I want to read this special testimonies, pages 38 to 39, written in 1897. Because it is really important. It says here, "I would that all my brethren and sisters would remember that it is a serious thing to grieve the Holy Spirit, and it is grieved when the human agent seeks to work himself and refuses to enter the service of the Lord because the cross is too heavy or the self-denial too great. The Holy Spirit seeks to abide in its soul. If it is welcome as an honored guest, those who receive it will be made complete in Christ. The good work begun will be finished. The holy thoughts, heavenly affections, and Christ-like actions will take the place of impure thoughts, perverse sentiments, and rebellious acts. The Holy Spirit is a divine teacher. If we heed its lessons, we shall become wise unto salvation, but we need to guard well our hearts, for too often we forget the heavenly instruction we have received and seek to act out the natural inclinations of our unconsecrated minds. Each one must fight his own battle against self. Heed the teachings of the Holy Spirit, and if this is done, they will be repeated again and again until the impressions are, as it were, laid in the rock forever, meaning the marks are so deep in the rock that they cannot be erased in our hearts. That's why, brothers and sisters, the question today, this Sabbath, have you grieved the Holy Spirit? Myself included. We may have grieved Him and practiced these things. Only God knows, but it is not too late to change and receive Him. Let all of us pray earnestly, like the prayer of David, Psalms 51:10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In Ezekiel 36:26, may everyone who prays in this way receive this divine answer to that prayer. When it says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." And then, as Ephesians 4:32, it says that, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So there will be kindness instead of bitterness. Instead of wrath, there will be tender-heartedness. Forgiveness instead of anger. And there will be the love, mercy, and gentleness of God instead of clamor, evil speaking, and malice of men and devils. And after that, in Ezekiel 36:27, we can all receive the Holy Spirit. For Christ says, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." Which do you choose now? Huh? Will you receive the Holy Spirit, or will you grieve the Holy Spirit? It's your choice, but you must choose one. Refusing to receive the Holy Spirit is to grieve Him. So why would you hesitate? Who among us here would like to be kind than bitter? Of course, none. Who would be more tender than angry? Who would rather forgive than become angry? Who would want to be gentle than loud? Who would rather love than speak evil? Choose you this day to receive the Holy Spirit. As Joshua 24:15 says, Joshua 24:15, "If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Ephesians 5:1-2, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us." The Holy Spirit invites all of us today. Let us come to Jesus wholeheartedly. Let us repent, confess, and forsake our sins and receive God's promises. For He graciously says in Isaiah 45:22, Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Psalms 102:13 says, Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yet the set time is come. Dear brothers and sisters, the time has come for everyone to receive the Holy Spirit's baptism. Who doesn't want it? Yes, of course, we all do. That's why we ask the Holy Spirit, come before this is the set time. Let us put away all these evil things, for they grieve the Holy Spirit, and the two spirits cannot live together in our hearts. So let us put away the spirit of bitterness, malice, evil speaking, and the like, so that the Holy Spirit will gladly take over. The Holy Spirit is God's seal of His own righteousness to those who accepted Him. But God will never put His seal upon sin for righteousness. No, no way. And if we do this, everyone who seeks the gift of the Holy Spirit will have the seal of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Thank you, the Lord. Christ's righteousness is the only righteousness that the Spirit of God approves. And lastly, in Matthew chapter 6:33, it says, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let all of us today seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness as a divine preparation for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, but instead receive ye the Holy Spirit, is my humble prayer. I hope and pray that you are blessed this Sabbath day.
By the very trials that seem to you, so severe, Jesus is true, Jesus understands, Jesus is your Savior. A little while of trial, only a little while of pain, and then an eternal weight of glory, honor and praise. Fallen, it is true, but we are not always to remain in sin. Jesus is true, Jesus understands, Jesus is your Savior. Only a little while of sorrow, only a little while of tears, and then an eternal weight of glory. Honor and praise. Take hold of Jesus and never let go. Don't look on the dark side, be hopeful in God. Be faithful. Jesus is true. Jesus understands. Jesus is our Savior. Only a little while of trouble. Only a little while of fear, and then an eternal weight of glory, honor and praise. If we have to wear a crown, we must expect to bear the cross. Jesus knows best. Only a little while of waiting, only a little while is coming, and then an eternal weight of glory, honor and praise. Honor and praise. Honor and praise. Honor and praise.
Shall we kneel? Let's pray to close this. Dear Heavenly Father, please create in us a new heart and renew the right spirit within us. We don't want to grieve. Encourage the Holy Spirit, but want to receive Him in our heart. Please, Lord, forgive us from all our unrighteousness. Help us to walk righteously, to be united in truth and in love, as our Lord Jesus wanted us to be. And please, Lord, shower us your grace, the perfecting latter rain we needed to prepare us for the terrible crisis which is soon to come. Please come, Lord. And please stay with us for the remainder of this Holy Sabbath day until we meet again tonight for the prayer and study meeting. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your mercy. Thank you so much for cleansing us from all our sins. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.